Are we doing a one?
Nah.
Five.
Nah.
Okay, that's cool.
But it's, hey, guys, you know what? You know what I learned today? I was looking at the Wikipedia page for video games based on comic books. Do you want to guess what franchise has the most listings under their title?
Either Batman.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Batman or who?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Incorrect on both counts.
Really?
It's Spawn.
It's not Spawn also, but you're inching to the right area. It's Aliens and Predators.
Are we counting those as comics?
They have comics.
They were movies,
yes.
First. No. The comics were made. But that's the reverse order.
No, I'm telling you what Wikipedia says. Wikipedia gives them comic book powers.
And I'm saying I'm calling shenanigans on that. They were movies first.
No, I think the games are based on is based on the comics. But if you want to be petty about it, it's Batman with 39 games.
Yeah.
Followed by Spider-Man with 36 games.
Okay.
And then rounding out the list, the Turtles, the X-Men, Garfield, and Asterix.
Garfield?
Garfield.
There are a lot of Garfield games.
Garfield's got 21 distinct games.
That's an absurd number of games.
Kids love Garfield, man. They love that fat fucking cat.
They really do. I think there's like a whole meme about Garfield and Garfield life. I don't know.
The cosmic horror of Garfield. Yeah, that's out there.
Yeah. If you take Garfield out of the comic, it's really depressing.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun like month or so when we discovered that.
It's really frightening.
Yeah. Hey, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Dragon Ball movie.
Yeah, we did.
The number one movie in North America.
I know. Yeah.
And without getting into massive spoilers, well, okay, it's happening. There will be spoilers. It's kind of hard to talk about a movie. So feel free to not be here.
Yeah. I'll start off by saying that I think the rating you sent in our group chat is the right rating for these four new movies, with the best movie being Broly,
yep.
This movie being second, then Frieza, and then Power of Gods.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of how that falls.
I would agree with you, considering it was my ranking. So
that's exactly
and that's
what I
you
said.
Guys top five.
No, just ranking the current Dragon Ball Super films.
So I don't remember if you remember this, Josh. We talked about it in the Dragon Ball episode, how the first 12 to 15 movies are not really movies, they're fight scenes with like a flimsy wafer thin plot attached to it.
But then Super comes around and then it becomes a little of a hefty story.
Yes, they have story.
And I think part of it is because the Super movies are canon.
Yes.
The other movies were just like, they're based on Dragon Ball Z, but they're not canon. They don't fit into the timeline. But because these do, you have to make it worthwhile.
Okay. It's for example, one of the movies is, hey, what if, I don't know, we did the Buu saga in 60 minutes or less? And that is the plot of the Janemba movie.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. I was wondering where you're going with that.
Or what if Gohan fought a pirate? You know.
Space pirate.
That's basically what those movies were. But these movies have plot, and I really appreciate it. I thought there were some real fun character moments.
Wait, Gohan fights a space pirate? Did I just hear that right?
Oh, yeah. That's a Bojack movie.
You did. Go look up Gohan versus Bojack.
Yeah.
He fights Bojack? I'm kidding.
You'll see Bojack. He's a real frustrating Dokken character.
So these movies actually come into play, like, to the point where the first two were adapted into the first two seasons of the anime proper. Because the first two movies came out before the Dragon Ball Super animated.
And
they were just treating them.
I think it's also important to remember that while it wasn't like dead, Dragon Ball was dormant until
it had told its story, so fans had pretty much just accepted the fact that their time.
Yeah. So once like Super was kind of like a toe dip to see like do people still give a shit about Dragon Ball, and they did. Oh, so cool. You know, that says all the second wave.
So, to give you a basic premise, Josh, since you're now dipping your toes into the Dragon Ball pond, so to speak, the first one we had introduced Beerus, the God of Destruction. And Goku goes Super Saiyan God for the first time. That's the one with the red hair.
Okay.
In the second movie... Hold on. Sorry.
The second movie involves Golden Frieza.
Frieza's minions gather the Dragon Balls and resurrect him.
Oh, okay.
He decides that he actually has to try this time.
He trains for a bit.
Grants himself a new power-up called Golden Frieza, goes to murder Goku and Vegeta. They're, JK, bitch, we've been training under the Beerus, the God of Destruction. Not only can we both go Super Saiyan God, but we've learned how to go Super Saiyan while in Super Saiyan God mode, which gives us blue hair, and that's called Super Saiyan Blue form. So then they kick Frieza's ass and kill him once again. Then Dragon Ball Super starts. We get an arc where he comes back from the future and says that a clone of Goku or someone in Goku's body is destroying the future. Come save us. Ends up being a rogue god who hates mortals. Through time shenanigans, they stop him. Then we meet the fact that we have other universes. Or the future one. We find out there's other universes. Beerus is the God of Destruction of Universe 7, which is where Goku and everyone and everything we've been in, because everything's got to have a multiverse now.
Okay.
But and we meet Beerus's brother Champa, who is the God of Destruction of Universe 6, and they have a tournament. The best warriors from Universe 7 versus the best warriors of Universe... That catches the attention of that god who goes like, wow, the audacity of these fucking mortals. How dare they use god energy? I'ma kill them all. That's when Trunks comes back. They stop him. Shit, what was the next arc, Chris?
As after Hit?
Yeah, no, after Zamasu. I want to say...
It's a little fuzzy, I don't quite...
Hold on. Wait, then it's just Tournament of Power. We got a Tournament of Power straight from there. So then we found out that there's 14 total universes. And there's a big tournament of power among the bottom ranked 10. We find out that Goku's universe isn't even close to being the strongest universe in terms of just the raw power of its inhabitants. So there's the god of all of the multiverse is like, let's have a fucking fight. And everybody that universe gets wiped out of existence. And the winner of the universe gets to live.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what better that way to have a good tournament than with some stakes? So every universe gets, I think, like 10 warriors. Universe 7 gets Goku, Vegeta, Krillin, Tien, Master Roshi, Android 17, Android 18, Piccolo, Gohan, and then they were going to have Majin Buu, but Majin Buu fell asleep. And when he falls asleep, he sleeps for, like, a month. So he was going to miss the deadline. So they're like, oh, shit, guys, we need a 10th warrior. Who's it going to be? Goku's like, Frieza might be dead, but, you know, we've done that before where you get, like, a day pass and come back to the world of living. Why don't we have Frieza join? They're like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. So now Frieza's on the team, and he has to help work alongside Goku and Vegeta because if they don't, he's erased too. So now we have our teams. Goku and Vegeta go Ultra Instinct and Super Saiyan Blue Evolved, respectively. Frieza goes Ham. They fight Jiren in Universe 11, who's the second strongest universe in the tournament. Everything goes to shit. Goku finally gets knocked out. Vegeta gets knocked out. Frieza gets knocked out. But Android 17 still in the match. He wins. He wishes for all the other universes that got wiped out during the tournament to come back. And he's like, that's the right answer. If you had wished for a selfish wish, we would have just destroyed you too.
Oh, that's a good lesson.
And so then, post that, two movies, Dragon Ball Broly is making the legendary Super Saiyan Broly canonical. Frieza, as his reward for helping save the multiverse, gets revived by Whis and Beerus.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not fucking around. He's still doing evil stuff. Tricks Broly into the thinking that Goku and Vegeta are the ones that destroyed Planet Vegeta and killed all the Saiyans instead of himself. So Broly and his dad go to kill them, and they're like, rawr, and a big fight happens, and it's fucking dope. Goku and Vegeta fuse in order to beat them. And instead of killing them, they're like, wait, you were lied to, and you're super strong. Why don't we train together and be buddies? So that's how that movie ends. And then this brand new one starts with Goku, Vegeta, and Broly training with Beerus, the God of Destruction. But the whole movie is about Gohan and Piccolo and the revival of the Red Ribbon Army. So we have androids, some great character moments. The movie is phenomenal. Brand new transformations for Goku or Gohan and Piccolo, which bring them on par with where Goku and Vegeta are now, making them relevant. So
that's pretty rad.
It's good times.
That's good times. Good for Gohan and Piccolo. What I've learned from my research is that Piccolo is a much better father than Goku.
This movie makes it perfectly clear.
And Vegeta is a much better father than Goku. Yes. I think Goku definitely needs to go to some lessons.
I think one of my favorite brief moments, like inside jokes, was when Piccolo said he doesn't learn how to drive because he never got his driver's license. Because there was that one episode in Dragon Ball Z where Goku and Piccolo try and get their driver's licenses and it goes really poorly.
Oh, is that a real thing?
It's one of the best, great
filler episodes of Dragon Ball.
It's one of the great episodes.
Oh, man. That actually sounds pretty amazing.
Mm. It is good times.
So, yeah, after all that, the movie's great.
Exciting. I was actually very surprised on how well it did in the box office, and just because of just timing, or just there's so much hype behind, like, it seems like there's a lot of Dragon Ball synergy happening right now, but I know, I think it's a really good sign of anime success in the American market.
Yeah,
it's awesome because... Oh, sorry, Chris, go.
No, go for it.
No, go.
Go.
You son of a bitch, go.
No.
You guys need to go.
No.
I'm not going either.
It's a good movie.
Oh, man.
It's a good movie.
Jujutsu Kaisen Zero also came out to being one of the top movies in America. So... And My Hero also did really well. So anime movies are breaking out. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's the market.
Before we move into our actual topic of the day, I do want the sheer fuckery that is going on with WB right now. Canceling all their animated projects. Young Justice is dead. Harley Quinn is dead. They just pushed back all their movies. They're canceling shows left and right. This merger with Discovery has been the worst thing that I've ever seen happen to a streaming.
Oh, it's bad. It's awful. And I can make comments of it because I'm about to be finished on a WB project, but it's bad. It's Discovery wants to make profits, so what they're going to do is that they're going to cut as much what they see as fat, and they're going to turn it into pretty much... It's all going to be awful, awful television at the end of the day. And I feel bad for all the creators and all the IPs of Warner Brothers. I feel like that Space Jam movie was really telling. It was secretly telling the future of the merger.
And we also just now got reports that Shazam and Aquaman 2 have been pushed back until next year.
Yeah.
I think Aquaman is now December of next year, and Shazam is summer of next year.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It really sucks. A lot of, especially for all the animation shows that have been sent over to Warner Brothers and HBO Max are now vanishing completely, according to some creators.
Here's what I don't understand. HBO removed over 250 episodes of Sesame Street.
Sure.
They, their whole reason they won their bid to be, like, own the rights to Sesame Street, was they said, hey, we're HBO, we are going to be a stable environment that will ensure and protect this for future generations.
Yeah, that was before the new president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was before Discovery.
That is some bullshit. That almost upsets me more than the animated DC stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. And I think the thing is that what's going to wind up happening is that a lot of people are not going to be willing to hand over their money to Discovery, and they'll realize the mistakes they made, but it's going to be too late, and Disney's just going to buy up all the IPs.
You know what? At this point, good. Disney at least is putting their stuff on their streaming service and promoting it.
Yeah, so.
Like, HBO Max was Disney Plus just surpassed Netflix in subscribers, if you count Hulu as well, which they did, because they're all the same.
That's true!
Yes.
But HBO coming right on their heels, like, it was another powerhouse. Like, there was Netflix, Disney, and HBO, and then below them was, like, Prime and Hulu and whatever, the rest of the trash, but HBO Max was doing really well in subscribers. It was, I just think we're going to see a huge downward turn. Like, I don't know, man.
I don't either.
I think the streaming, you're going to hurt, but it's just the nature of the beast, honestly. They really are. I think HBO Max is going to try to hold on to the Game of Thrones thing and see if that's going to keep them afloat for a while. But I just think the merger was a really bad move, and I can tell you at a working for the company, it still is an accounting nightmare. So
hate it.
Yeah,
I'm a contractor, so I can say it. So.
So let's talk about video games.
Yeah.
So Matt, this is your baby. Tell us about it.
Well, you go first. Let me finish eating this.
Oh, cool. So Matt's original plan was to talk about the ideal video game, comic book based video game. And I think to look to the present, the future, we need to look at the past of what's been successful as far as video games and comic books. We've seen recently the biggest success, Spider-Man for the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and others. But, superhero-based comic books, video games are as old as video games themselves. Like, going through that list on Wikipedia, like, there's Amiga and DOS games listed. But, a lot of it is kind of trash. Sometimes they're just not fitting the fantastical in a video game format is hard.
It is, and I think it really it took Asylum Game to really break the mold for superhero games, and I think Rocksteady really understood the character. And I think that's what's the most important thing, is understanding your material. And that's why the Insomniac Spider-Man games are so good. They understand the material. They also respect the material. And they understand what makes the characters important. And even the Rocksteady games, even though the tweaking of the Batman characters in many different stylistic ways, it still respects the material.
Yeah, yep. It's interesting you brought up like Insomniac, because like in the decades previous, you know, you had games like The Punisher, which is a hilarious superhero game. You had the PlayStation Spider-Man, the original PlayStation Spider-Man games, which are very good, but, you know, very silly. And you had Spawn had a bunch of bites at the apple, and then they all kind of were true to their comic book origins and were totally fine games, but they weren't, you know, groundbreaking in a way that you'd want them to be.
Yeah. Tonight's topic is essentially theory crafting our own personal ideal comic book video games. Now, in the past, we've talked about this off and on personally and whatnot. Because I remember at one point a Daredevil-based Arkham Asylum-style game would be amazing. An open-world Daredevil game where activating like detective mode or whatever would be his vision seeing the world in that cool Mark Wade, Chris Samnee like vision. That was one that we had brought up back in the day.
But yeah, and I also feel like if you do a Daredevil game, a little sidebar, you have to also include
a Phoenix Wright mode.
Yeah.
100%. The problem is everyone just wants to treat Daredevil is part, but that would have to be a big part of the game.
Yeah, definitely.
I think what would be cool, going off of that, how cool would it be if your success in stealth on a mission would determine how much evidence you were able to gather to help the next day's trial or something?
Yeah. It would be kind of like very like early Assassin's Creed type things. You have to do all these things to properly do the assassination. You have to do all these things to properly convict a criminal.
Mm-hmm. So this was brought up because I got it in my head. It all started with a very innocuous picture I saw. Just a panel from a comic in which the mutant Cypher was in the background. And, you know, when they're background characters, they're never drawn with the same detail. And he just kind of looked like his character was drawn in the style of the Final Fantasy Tactics art style, like the artist of Final Fantasy Tactics. And I was like, holy shit. In this Krakoan era of X-Men books, how perfect would it be to have a Final Fantasy Tactics style RPG, but with a city building mechanic like other games have, where you build up the nation of Krakoa, the outline like the treehouse in New York, and the different like areas like the blue side of the moon. Eventually, you have to terraform and do Mars. Like, the possibilities are endless, and then the combat is so perfect because in Final Fantasy, you have Phoenix Downs and other ways to canonically revive people, but in this game, if you lose a member, you have a built-in in-universe way to bring them back. I think that is so, like, the possibilities of a wide, varied range of mutant characters to pull from instead of just your standard ones. Like, yeah, you're going to get Wolverine. You're going to get Storm. But look at all these other mutants that have popped up in prominence and with us over the past couple years. Like, there's so many characters you can choose from. And you can have Forge in the war room. Like, you bring him supplies and he can create new weapons and defenses. You have the Hellfire Club. You could have like how Yakuza has a business management game. You could have a version of that with the Hellfire Trading Corporation, and with all the sales of, so you could have like the sales of the Krakoan drugs, then the black market portion where you have a side quest with the Marauder ship. I don't know, man. And then in a sequel or an expansion, you go galactic after the announcement of Araco, like, along with the diplomacy of the galaxy. Like, that could legitimately be one of the damn coolest Marvel video games I've ever made.
Yeah, there are a lot of great possibilities in all of that. And that's what kind of makes it really exciting when you posted that picture. It really clicked. If the artwork looked like that and the game played in those ways and you built your teams around like real X-Men teams and you get like bonuses for that and so on, like it would be a very interesting tactic game.
It's kind of shocking. Really awesome. We haven't had an standalone X-Men game since 2011.
Which is crazy.
It's crazy because I'm looking through the list and you had them every year, every other year, give or take. And then 2011, X-Men Destiny comes out and they're just like, no.
Oh my God.
No, thank you.
SD Act ruining X-Men forever.
I know. I appreciate your idea and I subscribe to your newsletter on it.
Yeah. I'm going to say, one day I want to sit down and picture what I would want the cast. I think in 100 meetings. Keep it simple.
I think.
Simple, he says, but.
I think you're going to have to wait till we see how Krakoa ends.
Ah, I don't want to.
Well,
you just go
have
with
to.
What I got.
No.
I don't got to do nothing.
Yes, you do.
Wow.
Wow, our game development session has gotten really intense.
That's right.
Josh, if you had to make a character and into a video game, tell me about it and tell me what you're feeling. Like, what's the game like?
My feeling. Yeah, I do approach. I think you have a lot of the groundwork there to make a Daredevil game and to make it work. It is going to be, you know, kind of like the sum of its parts type situation, because I think the open world thing is, you know, it's New York. You have to just focus. It's Hell's Kitchen. You're in Hell's Kitchen, and that's it. And you're exploring Hell's Kitchen. So you could open up Hell's Kitchen in a way that you can actually, like, discover things and, you know, sneak into areas and investigate and look. And then you do the trials. And it's, like, kind of like, oh, man, I just do, like, a Persona-type calendar countdown. That you have this time frame to collect the evidence, do these things, question people, figure it out. And then, you know, in between periods, you're also in the courtroom as well. And, you know, you'll send out your friends to go do tasks. And I think you can have some, like, crossover with, like, different characters. Like, some of the Avengers can come in. Some of the Defenders can come in and they can aid you on things. Or you can go tell them to go and, like, search something, and you know, and then you can encounter a lot of the underbelly mobster type characters that the Marvel Universe has, you know, all the Kingpin underlings and so on. I'm just thinking of, like, you know, because Spider-Man does a great job with, because a lot of those characters cross over and they're a really good job with a lot of those characters, and I think seeing them in the Daredevil universe is also really interesting. But you can have, like, a Punisher appearance, or, you know, or even She-Hulk can be in there just for shits and giggles. You know, I think it's a really good game you can build off of. And if it's just like Arkham Asylum. You can't make the world bigger than what it needs to be. If that makes sense.
It does.
So,
you know what I mean? Like,
bouncing off your thoughts for a Daredevil game, which I think the Arkham formula has really become shorthand for comic book video game. You know, Captain America's video game, the ones based on the movie, were very Arkham inspired. It just seemed like, you know, that's kind of the direction we're going in. I think you could get a lot of mileage out of doing a Shadowland kind of thing. And no one likes Shadowland because, you know, it's not good. But I think doing a Shadowland kind of story, but giving it the whole of New York, because it's I'm tapping the sign. Hell's Kitchen's like 10 by 5 blocks, man. It's not that big. So I think if you were to use the whole city like in Spider-Man and kind of had Shadowland as the backdrop, you know, that lets you bring in Elektra, lets you bring in the Hand, lets you bring in, you know, Luke Cage and Iron Fist somewhere if you want to. I love the idea of using it as a trial and having like a time system to work with. But it's important to note that we're not game developers because this sounds like a lot of stuff to put into a game.
Yeah.
it would be. It really...
This is the kind of game that would come out where like, oh my God, why did they squeeze everything into this?
Like, how did they do this?
Why did they do this?
Yeah.
But no, I think another game to kind of point at as a success was the Daredevil game that came out. I'm sorry, the Deadpool game that came out. It was kind of a weird slice of Deadpool, and it had a lot of, you know, Easter eggs, and it was kind of fun. So I think that's kind of the tact you want to take is a known-ish character on the verge of breaking out, but hasn't had the video game chance.
Yeah.
And if she wasn't in a massive game, I'd say that Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, would be the one to do it. But
she already technically has her own game, right?
She does. It's called The Avengers.
Yeah.
Like I said, I kind of wish, you know, I don't hate that Avengers game as much as a lot of people do. It's just kind of, it's kind of boring, but we could really use kind of like a fourth wall Kamala Khan-ish game that doesn't have all the other Avengers there.
I agree. Now, Chris, what is another character that in comics that has not had a game yet that you feel should?
Oh, well, it's interesting you say that because my mind immediately goes to Marvel because I feel like Marvel has their characters are a little easier to adapt into video games, I think. But I kind of would love an unbeatable Squirrel Girl game.
It's going to have to be fun and enjoyable and friendship.
Yeah.
All the time.
Kind of like Persona, but you know, you're building up friends as opposed to demons.
That would be kind of funny. You get your own Great Lake Avengers, huh?
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be nice.
From the DC side of it, I think, you know, we can do a better Superman now. We're almost there. Like, other games have gotten really close to making the right Superman game. So I think that would be the one.
I'm thinking, make a fun game. Mm-hmm. Dr. Fate.
Oh, that could be interesting.
I don't know what it would be about, but I just feel like it... No, you know what? Fuck that. A Constantine game. That's actually a secret backdoor vehicle for a Justice League Dark game.
I could like that. Would your Constantine game be like a Souls-like, kind of?
Trying to think how I would put it.
I feel like if you're going to do a Constantine game, it's got to be pretty brutal.
Yeah. I'm thinking...
Yeah, I think a Souls-like game would be really good for, like, an Avengers Dark.
Actually, in my mind, I go Disco Elysium.
Oh,
style,
yes.
Game.
Ooh. Yeah.
except the voices in your head aren't your body talking to you. They're like the demons that Constantine is always followed by.
Oh, what's the name of that girl? The one that we saw in Sandman. I forget her name from the first exorcism.
Yeah, and that girl.
That girl whose name I can't remember. I like that a lot.
I have nothing but good ideas.
Is there a Marvel character?
Yes. You mean besides every X-Men ever?
Yes, aside from every X-Men ever.
I think... Okay, hear me out.
All right, listening.
A deep combo and counter heavy battle system. Very heavily inspired by Ip Man. And have it be an Iron Fist game based on the Fraction run.
So like a Sifu skin for Iron Fist.
I mean, Sifu's a good start, but have it just be a lot more combo heavy instead of situational heavy. And being able to utilize and then calling in combo attacks with your friends, like have Luke Cage or Misty Knight or who's Wing?
Colleen Wing.
Colleen Wing. You know, any of them. I don't know. I think Kun Loon, the mystical and set in the mountains, deal with the other tribes, so to speak, have the tournament. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot you can mill from the Iron Fist mythos.
I just feel like Iron Fist having such a shitty Netflix series killed any momentum it ever could have had.
Yes.
And I just feel like a really good game would kickstart that back up.
I agree.
I gotta agree. I agree. I think a really good Iron Fist game, especially one that probably dives deep into its lore, would really shine.
DC one for you?
Yeah.
An actual, honest-to-God Green Lantern game. Not the shitty movie-based one we got.
I was thinking about that game. I remember you playing it and not hating it.
It was fine. Definition of average.
Yeah.
One, obviously based on all the Geoff Johns stuff culminating in Blackest Night.
Right.
The flight controls would play a lot like Zone of the Enders or Star Fox or any of those like flight, Ace Combat, like flight-based games. Mm-hmm. You map up to like 6 different constructs and mix and match however you want based on your loadout. And then there was also be like RTS type parts where you control the entire core. And you have to do things like team up with in order to properly fight the Reds and stuff like that.
Right. I like that.
In the mid-game twist, you have to unite all 7 cores because of the danger that the Black Lanterns pose. And I think if every person you lost along the way in the RTS segments comes back, Lord of the Rings, Battle for Middle-earth Nemesis style with a vengeance against you.
I do love that Nemesis system.
Never bad time. It is
very, very good. And it's just not used correctly.
Nearly enough.
Yeah, I think it also work. I think that would work really well in kind of like a Marvel game. Like, if, let's say you make a Defenders game. And, you know, kind of like, because we can already do this in a way. There already is an Arcanites game, and there's 4 characters you can pick from, and so on. I think if you can do, like, a Defenders game, and, you know, just pick 4 of the Defenders. It doesn't really matter who they are. You can pull from the Secret Defenders and so on. And then there is, like, the Rogues Gallery of all the Marvel villains. You're taking out, like, you can take out Absorbing Man, or you can take someone out and then Absorbing Man takes his place. And, you know, like, you can promote all the really bad D-list villains in the Marvel Universe just for shits and giggles.
Yeah. You mean great villains like Batroc?
Yeah.
Batroc Zilly Bear.
small tangent. I was at Barnes & Noble, and they had these really nice hardcover first collections of like Captain America and Black Panther and stuff. Nice. And I was cracking open the Captain America one to give it a looky-loo, and I opened it right on to a Batroc story. And it sounds like it was meant to be.
And did you buy it?
I didn't buy it because they're very expensive.
So it wasn't meant to be.
But it was the closest
Batroc fan.
It was the closest I've ever come to buying any Captain America trade.
Wow.
I love him so much. Josh, is there any other superhero and comic book thing that you're thinking?
Let's see.
A space cabby game where you're in space being a cabby. I guess that's just Elite Dangerous.
Oh man. Look, there's a good bit of things, and I'm thinking like, you know what we really need? And hear me out on this. And I think the Turtles are coming back, but I think we need a really well-done action RPG Ninja Turtles game based off of the 80s comic book storyline.
Have they not done that yet?
I don't believe so. I don't even think that's ever been touched. Like, I think all these Ninja Turtle games that they've made are pretty much kind of loosely based off of the comic book and more heavily based off of the animated TV series.
Huh.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
He's not wrong.
Oh, so, like if you do...
Like a gritty black and white...
Like, yeah, it could be very stylistic looking. Like, the first chapter is pretty much you killing Shredder. Like, done. And then it just moves on.
Who do they face after Shredder in the comics?
Who do they face after Shredder in the comics? They go through a lot.
I guess. I only know the cartoons. So... As far as I'm concerned, they're still fighting the Shredder.
Oh, definitely. I think in the cartoons they are.
Well, yeah. With a little sprinkling of Krang.
All the Krangs.
Yeah. So, yeah. But
I think that would be a really interesting take on that, because you pretty much have it pretty built in a way. You have a really good action RPG character pool to pick from, and then you have a lot of really good stories to pick from as well.
Yeah, kind of Neo based.
Yeah,
I'm down. Anyone else got any?
Here's the thing: the world of comic books is vast and deep, and there are so many options you can go with.
All right, how about this?
Yeah,
I mean, Josh just gave us one with Ninja Turtles.
Right.
But let's give example of a comic we would like that is not one of the big two.
Okay. Let me ponder this.
And of course, big two, I also include Vertigo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they're still technically DC.
I think something
about... There is your first problem.
Well, I'm thinking it'd be a fun little game about... gathering lasagna as a cat named Garfield. Maybe a kart racer of some kind. No, but seriously, I think you can take Brubaker's Criminal series and kind of, you know, work it into the Telltale Black Sad kind of format and really get something special out of that.
So I think you're going to like mine, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
Rucka's Lazarus.
Oh, that would be... that. As an RTS, that'd be pretty dope.
RTS with action sequences. Like the RTS parts, and then in combat scenarios, it cuts to like a Devil May Cry-style action game.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And also... Wicked and the Divine.
Ooh.
I like that a lot.
There's a lot there to unpack.
Yep.
There's really a really cool, like, I'm already thinking kind of like you already have Persona as a really good base for that. And the world can be built kind of off of that type of... Oh man, that would visually look amazing.
Yep, yep.
I love it.
Yeah, I want that.
Yeah. And also, if you want to be really bleak, you could just do what's that comic about the kids whose bus crashed in South America?
Oh.
During the really upsetting era of Image.
Hold on.
Because then you could have a survival game like, I don't know, Ark or Rust.
Yeah. Damn it.
I forget what it's called, but it was really fun. Did that end or did that just kind of fizzle out?
No, it ended.
Okay.
Hold on. I know exactly how to figure it out.
Okay.
Hold your fucking horses, Chris.
Wow.
Wow, Jesus.
I am...
Okay.
Just kidding, I'm not.
Okay.
Just in case you weren't aware.
Hold on.
Okay, alright. Image. I'm pulling up my, checklist of things I own. No Mercy.
That's it. That's pretty great. Yeah.
No Mercy.
Make a No Mercy game kind of like Rust.
Just a survival horror game?
Yeah.
Not even a survival horror, just survival, like, roguelike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that book.
Yeah, upsetting. All right.
Yep.
Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic of some kind. Who knows what it could be?
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Exactly. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.